wherever you're joining us, we welcome you this morning to this broadcast, this online experience. I pray that the hand of the Lord will reach out and touch you right away, wherever you may be watching this morning. As you connect by faith, we trust that the hand of the Lord will be stretched forth right now to minister to you. Father, we give you praise, blessed comfort, and thank you for the opportunity of being in your presence. Thank you for this atmosphere is already prepared for you. Glorify yourself once again. We give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' matchless name, we worship. The Lord bless you. We'd like to welcome every one of us this morning, wherever you're joining us online for this wonderful online experience. This is the Dare to Dream Christian Center, a place where dreams are conceived, nurtured, and fulfilled. You're welcome to our online service experience. I want to trust that you are keeping well in this season that we are living. God has been faithful, and I know that he will continue his faithfulness with you also. Today I bring you a word from the word of the Lord. We've been speaking on the subject of prospering in a time of crisis. There's no doubt about the fact that we're in a time of crisis, and God has a way. God has not left his people without a word of hope and a word of courage. This is going to be, I think this is the fourth part in the series. And I want you to stay tuned this morning, because I know there's a word for you that's going to meet you at the point of your need. Let's read our text scripture that is found in 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 24, then I will skip some verses. I will jump to chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. And it came to pass after that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine. Notice that there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass head was sold for 80 pieces of silver. That's about $50. And the fourth part of a cob of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. That's about $3. And as the king of Israel was passing by the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress?" And the king said unto her, "What haileth thee, or what troubleth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, give me your son, that we may eat him today, that we may eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did heat him. And I said unto her, on the next day, give me your son, that we may eat him. And she hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king had these words of this woman, he rent his clothes and he passed by the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth upon his flesh. Then he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on his head this day." Let's go to chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with the eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof." Let us pray. Precious Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity you have given us once again to come before your holy word. I ask this morning that you breathe upon these words. Let this word come alive. Give us a word in due season. Every person listening to me at this hour, give them their portion. Let the anointing distill upon every hearer. Let burdens be lifted this morning, and let your great name be glorified. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Like I did mention, we are continuing our series on the subject of how to prosper in a time of crisis. We are living in a crisis period. The word crisis means a time of intense difficulty and danger. We are living at a critical period in the history of humanity. But the good thing I want you to know, my friends, my brothers and sisters, this morning, is that God has not left us without a hope. God always has a plan in place. It doesn't matter how bad, it doesn't matter how difficult things are. God is never caught unawares. When you look at scriptures, the word of God informs us that God has you covered. If you're a child of the covenant, you are covered. Psalm 37 verse 19 says, you shall not be ashamed in the evil time. You'll be satisfied in the time of famine. The time of famine is a time of crisis. That is the situation we're living in. If you go on further and read verse 39 of Psalm 37, it says that the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. What does that mean? Your help, your deliverance, your prosperity is from the Lord. He now says he is your strength in the time of trouble. God never said you will not go through trials. God never promised us that we will not go through trouble. We are in a turbulent situation in the world right now, but Jehovah will be your strength. Don't forget Psalm 46 verse 1 also says God is our refuge, a very present help when in the time of trouble. That's why verse 2 says we will not fear. I love a scripture in Job chapter 5 verse 22. It says at destruction and famine you will laugh. That is to tell you that God has a plan to prosper you in the time of crisis. And that's why I wanted to know that no matter what is happening in the world right now, no matter what is happening with regards to the economy, you will rise above the storm and you will prosper in Jesus' name. The word prosper means to excel in all that is good and desirable. And that's going to be your testimony in the name of Jesus. I have been speaking on the secrets that will help us to succeed in a time of famine. I said we're going to be looking at 12 of them so far. We have looked at 5. I don't have the time to go over the 5. I want to progress this morning because of the time that we have. So what do I need to do? What will help me to survive and succeed and have significance in a time of famine? Another thing that is going to help you and I to prosper and to excel in this season is that you need to be mindful of what you do. You need to be mindful of what you do or what you are doing. I want to ask you a question this morning. What are you doing? Or what have you been doing? Whether you know it or not, what you do in a time of crisis will determine whether you're going to win or lose. It will determine whether you will prosper or not. So the question is this: what are you doing? If you look at the story that we read this morning, you will discover that the 4 leprous men that God used to bring salvation, that God used to bring, restoration to the nation of Israel, in this story, they were not idle. 2 Kings chapter 7, if you go back there, if you look at verse 3, they ask this question. Say, why sit we here till we die? In other words, why do we sit here? Why should we sit in this place and die? It is better for us to do something other than not to do anything. And praise God, what they did brought about a turnaround. Hear me and hear me well this morning. What you do in this season will determine whether you are going to rise or fall. What you do in this season is going to determine whether you're going to succeed or fail. So the question is this: what are you doing? Or what have you been doing? We need to make sure that we do the right thing, or we are doing the right thing. I'll give another example in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 8. The great woman of Shunem. 2 Kings chapter 8. Elisha warned her, a famine is coming. Relocate from where you are. Go to another place. The Bible says she went to another place, and scriptures makes her to understand that after 7 years she came back. Now, you will see that if she stayed put where she was, she would never have survived and succeeded. In fact, when she came back, she got her lands back and every harvest on those lands for 7 years she had been gone. So what am I saying? What you do matters a lot. This is not the time to be idle. This is the time to be diligent. This is not the time to be passive. This is the time to be proactive. This is not the time to cry. This is the time to take courage. There's a story in the Bible. It's a story of David. He was going through a crisis. in 1 Samuel 30, the enemy came. They took away their properties, their children, their wives, and everything they had. The Bible says when they came back to their camp, they started weeping. In fact, scripture says the men, verse 4, they wept until there was no more tears coming up from their eyes. What a situation. A situation of crisis. A time of difficulty. You know, everybody was crying. In fact, it got to an extent, those people wanted to attack David because they began to point accusing fingers. You are the cause of this. You see, that is not what to do in a time of crisis. A time of crisis is not supposed to be a time of panicking. A time of crisis is not supposed to be a time of trading blames. Listen to me. If you trade blames now, it will not solve anything. If you blame others, if you blame things, it will not change your situation. You know, that's almost the scenario that the king here in 2 Kings chapter 6 was doing. 2 Kings chapter 6, if you read the story, you know, the king of Judah here was putting the blame on Elisha. He was saying that Elisha is the cause of this thing. In fact, he decided he was going to kill Elisha. And if not by the word of the Lord, Elisha knew that he was sending his messenger to come for his head. You know, he was hasty. Hear me. This is not the time to be hasty. This is the time to be to be patient. This is the time to wait upon the Lord. You cannot fold your hands. This is not the time to be idle. You need to be diligent. You need to make sure you do the right things, because that is what is going to get you out of this scenario. This is not the time to follow the multitude. This is the time to follow your conviction. In a time as we are living now, at times people don't have a mind of their own. People are following the multitude. People are following what is trending. That's not what will bail you out. That's not what will deliver you in the time of crisis. What will deliver you is your convictions in God. So my challenge to you this morning is to start taking actions. Take actions that are in line with your purpose. Take actions that are in line with God's will for your life. Take actions that are in line with your convictions in God. This is what will bring you out of this crisis. This is what will make you a winner. This is what will make you not to go down. I feel like telling somebody here this morning, you will not go down, you will rise. You will not sink, you will fly. Listen to this. This time of crisis will be a time of lifting for you in the name of Jesus. But you cannot fold your hands. I remember an Irish proverb that says, you never plow by turning it over in your mind. That is to tell you that there's a place for action. Please hear me. You can't afford to be passive. You need to be proactive. This is not the time to sleep. This is a time to take courage and take action. You know something about your actions? The kind of actions you take will determine what will happen to you tomorrow. In fact, what will happen to you tomorrow is a product of your actions. Whether you know it or not, your action has great consequences. Your actions will not only affect you, it can even affect unborn generations. It can even affect your family. So, listen to me this morning. What kind of actions are you taking? Don't be idle. Be diligent. This is not the time to complain. This is the time to compliment. This is not the time to be confused. This is the time to take courage. This is not the time to panic. This is the time to patiently wait upon the Lord. Because listen to me, God will not allow you to be put to shame. Hear me and hear me well this morning. Let us begin to take the right kind of actions. Because the actions that you take will determine your today. It will determine your tomorrow. It will even determine your destiny. So if you want to rise above the storm that we are currently facing right now, You need to begin to take the right action. I want you to lift up your hands, whatever you are watching with me this morning. Say after me, say, Holy Spirit, help me to be mindful of what I am doing in this season. Help me to do the right things. Help me to do the things that will bring me on the path of destiny. Listen, it is actions, the right kind of actions that will bring you out. And hear me, and hear me well this morning. Action always, notice that, always beats intention. It's not just enough to say, oh, this is what I want to do, or this is what I'm going to do. Are you doing it already? You cannot afford to be idle if you're going to beat and succeed in this season. You need to make the right kind of actions. I pray for you today that you will not be idle in this season. I pray for you today that you will not be passive. You will be proactive. I pray for you this morning, you will not blame others. You will take responsibility, because responsibility is the price of greatness. So it's time for you to start taking actions. And hear me, before I leave this point, please let us be mindful of what we are doing. Don't make permanent decisions based on temporal feelings. Don't make permanent decisions based on how you are feeling now. Make sure you think through things. Make sure you wait upon the Lord. One of the things that costed Reuben his father's blessing was because he was rash in the decision he took some years that he slept with his father's concubine. He allowed, listen to this, the way he was feeling to affect his sense of judgment, which affected his destiny. The same thing will be true for Esau. Esau, because of a pot of porridge, sold his destiny. Listen, he made a permanent decision based on temporal feelings. Hear me and hear me well. We will not forever be in a lockdown. Hear me and hear me well. We are going to come out of this season, and we are coming out of this season better and stronger. If you believe that, can I have an amen in the name of Jesus? So don't make permanent decisions based on how you are feeling now. Make sure you make decisions that are spirit-led. Make rational decisions. Make decisions based on your convictions. Make decisions based on the will of God. I see you rising above the storm in the name of Jesus. You will not only survive this storm, you will succeed in this storm. You will not only go through this crisis, you will come out a winner in the name of Jesus. So that is very important for us to do. We need to take actions. We need to be mindful of the kind of actions that we need to take. That is another powerful key that will bring us out of this crisis. Now, let's look at another one. That is key number what now? That's key number six. We're looking at how to prosper. What are the tools? What are the equipment, the resources that will help you and I to be able to succeed in this time of crisis? And the other one that I want to speak about, which is key number six, is that you need to be mindful of what God is saying. You need to be mindful of what God is saying to you. Listen, this is very, very important. This is one of the most important keys if you're going to survive in a time of crisis. Do you know God's mind for you? Hear me and hear me well. I'm not talking about God's mind for somebody else. I'm talking about God's mind for you. What is God's mind for you? What's God saying to you in this season? Revelation 3 verse 6 and verse 13 and verse 22 says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. You know, most of the time, we are busy. We are preoccupied with what every other person is saying, with what the experts are saying, with what the environment is saying, with what the economy is saying. We are not paying attention to what God is saying. If you want to rise above this crisis, if you're going to prosper in this time of crisis, it's very important for you to know what God is saying. I was discussing with somebody some time ago, and I told the person, I said, any child of God that does not know how to hear God, listen to this, you'll be missing out on a lot of things. I'm not talking about other people hearing God on your behalf. I'm talking about you being able to hear God on your behalf. Isaiah 48, verse 17. It says, I'm the Lord your God that teaches you to profit. How? By leading you in the way. Do you know there's a way to go in this crisis if you're going to prosper? If you go back to our text, what made the difference was the word of the Lord that Elisha had. Elisha had from God. 2 Kings 7, you can see that verse 1. He said, by this time tomorrow, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel. Where? At the gate. Where did he hear that? He had it from heaven. God spoke. Listen. And hear me and hear me well. When God has spoken, every other person is a latecomer. It doesn't matter what anybody is saying. Listen, what matters is what God is saying. Do you know what God is saying to you now? If you know what God is saying to you now, you will not be disturbed. You will not be perturbed. You will not be anxious. Because when he speaks, listen, he gives peace. There's something about the word of the Lord. He gives you peace and confidence and assurance. That's why I'm saying this to you. One of the essential keys to bringing you out in time of crisis is to know what God is saying. Do you know what God is saying? If you look at the story in 1 Kings chapter 17, when there was a famine in Israel, what bailed Elijah out was that he knew what God was saying. 1 Kings 17 verse 2, God told him, go to where? Go to the brook of Cherith. I have commanded the ravens. He left where he was to where? To the brook of Cherith. That was where his provision had been appointed. When the brook dried up, God said, your time is up here. It's time to relocate. Go to where? Zarephath. Verse 9. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you. Hear me. If Elisha ignored the instruction that God said to him, he will have not survived the famine. What is God saying to you, my dear brother? What's God saying to you, my dear sister? There's a situation in Acts chapter 27. While Paul was on his way to Italy for the defense of the gospel before emperor, the emperor of those days, the emperor of Rome. You know something happened? There was turbulence on the high sea. 14 days, nobody could see the light. You know what Paul said? In the midst of that crisis, Paul spoke. He said, there stood by me tonight an angel of the Lord, whose I am, whom I serve. That angel brought me a word from the Lord, saying, nobody will die on this voyage. The only thing that will be lost is the ship, but every soul. There were over 200 people on that ship. Every soul will be preserved. Now, that is what I mean by hearing from God. You can see the story in Acts 27. Acts 27, verse 22 to 25. That's why Paul was confident. Listen, when you know what God is saying, it gives you confidence. When you know what God is saying, it gives you assurance. You can have assurance in the midst of the storms. You can have assurance in the midst of crisis. He says, wherefore, sirs, I believe God. I love that. I believe God that it shall be according as the Lord has commanded me. Do you know what God is saying, my brother? You know what God is saying to you, my sister? That is crucial. At times, we are so full of what the news is saying. We are so full of what people are saying. We are so full of what the expert, but what is God saying? Do you know what he's saying to you? That's the most important thing in this time of crisis. I pray for you this morning. Your ears will be open to hear what God. Listen, you will know what God wants you to do in this season. You will know what you need to do to ride upon the storm of this crisis in the name of Jesus. Now, it's important when it comes to knowing what God is saying. Now, when I say you need to be mindful of what God is saying, I want you to pay attention. I'll remember the following important truths. Number one, listen, God has something to say to you in this season, and it's your responsibility to find it out. Listen, And hear me, and hear me well. God has something to say to you. It's your job to find it out. Job said in Job 29, verse 16, the cause that I don't understand, I search it out. I want you to know that. That is very important. He has vital information he wants to share with you. And I pray for you this morning, what he wants to share with you will not elude you in Jesus' name. Then number two, what God has to say to you may not be what God has to say to me. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that what he may be saying to me may not be what he's saying to you. Because our situations differ. Our circumstances differ. Our destinies are not the same. So you need to understand that what he may be saying to A may not be what he's saying to B. Let me give an instance. In the story of Genesis 26, when there was a crisis in the time of Isaac, he wanted to relocate to Egypt. God said, don't leave this place. Stay here. Now, that's God's instruction to him. Stay here. I will bless you here. Now, you see another crisis situation in 2 Kings chapter 8. The great woman of Shunem, God told her rather, don't stay in your home place. Don't stay in your nation. Relocate. You can see two different cases of crisis. The instructions of God different. So you must be able to decipher what God is saying to you. I pray for you this morning, the wisdom and the ability to be able to differentiate and to be able to decipher what God is saying to you, receive it in the name of Jesus. That's very important. Then number three, you need to have courage. You need to have courage to act on whatever instructions that God is saying to you. Listen to me and listen good this morning. The instructions or his directives to you are time bound. Notice that word, time bound. What does that mean? Whatever he has to say to you, whatever he requires of you, it's not something that will always be there. It is time bound. There's a scenario in the book of Numbers. Numbers, very interesting story. Numbers, God told Israel, you need to go over and take this land. And when Caleb and Joshua came, they said, let us go over and take the land. But the people said, we be not. Now, there was a confusion. There was an argument. Some people said, we are ready to go. Two people, the entire nation said, we won't go. And God told them in Numbers 14, 28, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Now, that was the finality. God said, nobody is going there, for all the generation that left Egypt from 20 years above will perish. The only people that will make it are those people who believe, that is Caleb and Joshua, and those who were younger than 20. Now, that instruction was time bound. Some people now got up in Numbers 14 from verse 41. They wanted to go to the promised land. Moses said, don't go. God is not with you. They didn't listen. Now, they went. They were destroyed. Listen, there's a time bound. Listen, with regards to any instructions that God is saying to you in this season, it is time bound. I pray for you in the name of Jesus, you will not miss your moment. There's a time that God has appointed in his calendar to make things good. That's what the Bible says. He make all things, not some things, all things when beautiful in his time. I pray for you in the name of Jesus, the instructions, the directives of God to you in this season, you will not miss out in the name of Jesus. You will not dilly-dally. You will not procrastinate. You will not waste time. You will act fast, because that is the key to winning in this season of crisis. I pray for you this morning that the voice of God will not elude you. And once you know what God is saying, courage to act, receive in Jesus' name. Now, very important for us, for me to also address this question, how do I know what God is saying to me? Because that seems to be an argument. That seems to be a problem at times. How do I know what God is saying to me? Let me give you some tidbits on how you can know what God is saying to you. Number one, by spending time with God. There's no other way to assess the mind of God other than to spend time with him. Spend time with God. Spend time with God in prayers. Spend time with God in worship. Spend time in God. Waiting upon. You see, that's why this period of lockdown is very important. It's not just a time of sleeping. It's not just a time of eating. If all you do in this season is to wake up and eat and watch TV or watch whatever, and you don't spend time with God, you are missing out on valuable instructions that will change your life and put you in the place where you belong in destiny. So begin to spend time with God. As they say in my language, when leaves stays close with soap, the leaves soon become soap. The Bible says in James 4, verse 8, draw near to God and he will be drawn near to you. Listen, if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. If you don't draw near to God, God will be far away from you. It's as simple as that. So if you want to know what God is saying, draw close to him in the place of prayer. Not only that, number two, you need to deliberately ask God to show you his mind. You need to be deliberate. Deliberately ask God to show you his mind. Lord, show me your mind. What are you saying, Lord? You know, people talk about David today. David was a great man, great army. I'm a great warrior, successful, never lost anybody. But you know the secret of success? David was always in the habit of asking God for directions. Never at any point in his life did he embark on any journey, on any assignment, without clarifying from headquarters, that is from above. He recognized God as his commander in chief, his CEC. That's how you need to also relate. You need to deliberately ask God. Listen, you are in business. Ask God, how do I navigate through this season? How can the challenges of COVID-19 pandemic, how can I navigate it financially? How can I navigate my way through? I'm a professionally. Because you see, the wisdom of God is available for those who ask. Going back to David again, 1 Samuel 13 verse 8. 1 Samuel 23 verse 2, 1 Samuel 23 verse 4, you will see David was always in the habit of making inquiries. Lord, should I go? Should I not go? Listen, listen. God will always speak to those people who seek to know his will. God will always guide those who don't claim to know it all. If you think you are sufficient of yourself, then it means that you leave yourself in a position where you will not be able to hear God. So humble yourself this morning. Begin to ask God. I mean deliberately. I mean intentionally. Then number three, how can you know what God is saying to you? You need to consistently ask him. You need to consistently pray and unto God until you know what to do. Let me say this to you. This is not a one-off thing. The subject of asking for directions, the issue of seeking the faith, at times it will take you days. At times it will take you hours. At times you may even know it in the split of a second. But the thing is this, you don't control the times and seasons. That's why you must cultivate the habit. The Bible says in Isaiah 40 verse 31. Isaiah 40 verse 31. They that wait. Notice that word. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Isaiah 49 verse 23 says, they shall not be ashamed that wait upon him. There's a reward for those who wait. For those who tarry to know what God is saying. I once had a story by Kenneth E. Hagin, of blessed memory, of a businessman who never lost any money in any transaction in all his life. He never lost money because God was his guide. God was his shepherd. Hear me. If you engage him to lead you, to show you, he will help you to navigate through the knotty issue. There is nothing that you are going through now that God doesn't have an answer. There is no riddle that God cannot solve. There is no problem that doesn't have a solution. The wisdom of God is unlimited. I prophesy to you today, receive wisdom. Receive insight. Receive illumination. You will not be lost. You will not lose your way in the dark. Light is shining in your path. I see illumination coming your way. In the name of Jesus, your business will not go under. You are rising above. You are rising above. You are rising above in the name of Jesus. I remember something. One thing that is peculiar about the eagles. The eagle is a very rare bird. And you know, the Bible compares us to eagles. Isaiah 40 verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. We shall mount up. How? Like with wings as eagles. There's something about an eagle. The eagle thrives in the midst of a storm. While other birds run away, the eagle is excited when there is storms. Listen. Why? Because the eagle needs contrary winds, storms, to ride, to fly high. Let me say this to you. What is happening right now, this time of crisis, is your time of rising, is your time of lifting. Listen, the same storm that other birds can dare not fly, this is your own storm. You will ride through this storm. There's something called in the eye of what? The storm. The eye of the storm, the eagle thrives. You will thrive in this season. You will not go under in the name of Jesus. Psalm 37, the Bible says, verse 23, the steps of what? A good man are ordered by the Lord. God, we order your steps into your pot of blessing in the mighty name of Jesus. That is what you need to do. Lift up your hands and say, oh Lord, open my eyes to seeing what you are saying to me. Help me to pay attention to what you are saying unto me, because I know what you are saying is relevant to my rising, to my prosperity. If you believe that, say better amen in Jesus' name. Then key number 7, I will introduce it and we'll close on this. What do we need to do if we are going to prosper in a time of crisis? We need to be mindful of the windows of opportunities that is around in this season. Hear me. This may sound like a paradox. This may sound like even, you know, it may sound as something that does not make sense. Are you saying that there are opportunities in the midst of this crisis? The answer is yes. Hear me. And hear me well. There are opportunities in a time of crisis. There are always opportunities in a time of crisis. Do you know that Microsoft and LinkedIn, that, you know, part of the social, that social media, you know, part of the social media handles that people use for people in their careers and profession. Do you know that it was founded in a time of recession? Look at Microsoft today. Look at LinkedIn today. Listen. This is your opportunity for rising. There are opportunities. God said to me this morning, God said, opportunities are birthed. Opportunities are birthed in the womb of what? The womb of crisis. Opportunities are birthed in the heat of crisis. Yes, I know there's a crisis situation in the world now. But listen, it is also a time of birthing of opportunities. I pray for you this morning. You'll be able to see the opportunities that this season brings. Do you know that a time of crisis brings opportunities? I was thinking about this morning. The 4 leprous men. Do you know that if that crisis had not happened in Israel, they would never have become rich? Those 4 leprous guys were made for life. They took many booties. They took many riches. I think they went about 3 times before they said, okay, Lord, let us keep this news. Let's go and tell others. They were made for life. Listen, there's somebody hearing me this morning. This is your season of being made. This is your season of being honored. This is your season of being elevated. 4 leprous people made. Listen, if that affliction, if that crisis did not come, they will never have risen in life. Let me give another example. Do you know that even Queen Vashti, if there was not a crisis in the kingdom of Persia, no vacancy would have been available for Esther to occupy. If there was not a crisis in the life of Naomi, there would have been no space for Ruth. Listen to me. You need to see this time of crisis as a time of opportunities. Because buried within every crisis are what? Opportunities. Waiting for your discovery. Waiting for you to maximize. May your eyes be open to see it in the name of Jesus. I once had the story about Thomas Edison, one of the greatest inventors of all times. There was a time his famous lab, research lab, caught fire. It was burned down to ashes completely. All years of hard work was burned down. You know, when the fire was going on, he called his children. He said, children, go and call your mother. She will never see a fire like this all her life. Now, you may be saying, is that the kind of response to have? All your lifetime work is like all your investment is going down. You are not saying, go and call your mother. Let her come and work. That's to tell you the kind of perspective he had. He was going through a crisis, but he didn't allow the crisis to have him. The remarkable thing was that after 3 weeks, notice 3 weeks, he rebuilds the same lab. In fact, something bigger, something better, and greater inventions follow. Let me say this to somebody. You may have received a negative news, a bad news, because I know that in this season, there are all kinds of things happening. When you look at the world today, there's a lot of talk about pay cuts, a lot of talk about downsizing, a lot of talk about recession. Listen to this. You may have received the negative news. That same negative news is going to be the instrument of your rising. I want you to receive that word this morning. This is not the end of life for you. It's the beginning of a new life. In the name of Jesus, I want to encourage you to start paying attention. There are opportunities in this crisis. There are opportunities in a time of crisis. And it will not elude you in the name of Jesus. Apostle Paul says something in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9. It says, a great door, an effectual, is open unto me, but there are many adversaries. That's to tell you something. In every difficulty, there are opportunities. And in every opportunity, there are difficulties. It just depends on what you see and how you are responding to it. Some people are responding negatively to what is happening right now in the world. But you know that there are some people have been made right now. I read a story online recently about the man who owns Amazon, Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos. His income has almost doubled. He's now, he's the richest man in the world. But what am I saying? Because, of course, you know, because of the lockdown and because of all that is happening, people have to do more of online purchase and online stuff now. Now, his value has risen. Amen, somebody. What am I trying to say? Do you know that this season, I mean, of course, there's some sectors of the economy that are doing well, and there's some sectors of the economy that are going through a turbulent time. But listen to me. Listen and listen to me. Even in the midst of that crisis, there are opportunities. Your eyes will be open to see them. You will not be left behind. Whatever you need to do to reposition your business, to reposition yourself, to make yourself relevant, receive it in the name of Jesus. You may be wondering, how can I spot these opportunities you are talking about? These opportunities we are seeing that exist in a time of crisis, how can I identify them? Number one, by asking the right kind of questions. Do you know that the kind of questions you ask will determine the kind of answers that you get? If you ask foolish questions, you will get foolish answers. If you ask wise questions, you will get wise answers. So the question is this, what kind of question are you asking? What kind of questions are you asking yourself? I want you to ask questions that will stimulate your creativity. Ask questions that will inspire your creativity, that will provoke your intuition. Listen, ask questions that will stimulate your right-hand side of the brain, not the left-hand side. Experts tell us that the left-hand side of the brain deals more with logic and, you know, logic and other things. But your right side of the brain deals with visualization, imagination, and intuition. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 7 verse 7. He says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. I love those four leprous guys in 2 Kings 7. They asked questions. They said, if we sit down here, we're going to die. Instead of sitting down here, let us go to the camp of the Syrians. We have two options. It's either they kill us or they spear us. But you see, they started thinking. They started asking. Listen, it's time you start asking the right kind of questions. God said something to me this morning and it blew my mind. He said, instead of asking who caused the darkness, start asking what caused the darkness and how can I fix it? What do I mean? Instead of asking who caused this problem, start asking how can I navigate my way through this problem? The Holy Spirit of God will shine his light. He is the Spirit of light and illumination. You will not be lost. I said, you will not be lost in the dark. You will not be lost in your generation. You will not be left behind in the name of Jesus. Start asking questions. Start probing. Start probing. Start probing. You need to, listen, never lose a holy curiosity. Never lose. It's better to have an inquisitive mind other than to have a lame mind. I pray for you this morning. Your eyes of understanding are enlightened in the name of Jesus. Number two, how can I spot this opportunity I'm talking about? Begin to follow your sixth sense. You know, there are five senses. Most of the time, people are ruled by their senses. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Second Corinthians, rather, 5:7. Stop walking by sight. There's another sense you have. It's called the sixth sense. Start walking by faith. Start walking by the promptings of your spirit. Start walking by your conviction. Start walking by your intuition. I have a feeling in my spirit that these guys, these four leprosy guys, they just had a feeling in their spirit. You know, let's go to the camp of the Syrians. I mean, it came to them as a thought. It came to them. They had that impression. Please listen and hear me well. Most of the greatest things that happens to us always come like an impression. Don't wave that impression away. Don't shake it off. Whatever God is trying to open your eyes to see, give it thought. Give it consideration. It will lead to your breakthrough. It will lead to your lifting. Please be sensitive to the Spirit of God in this season. Romans 8 verse 14 says, as many as are led. Notice that word. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. God will lead you to your pot of blessings in the name of Jesus. Then how can I spot some of these opportunities? I love this one. By hearing and seeing what others don't see. The Bible says in Proverbs 20 verse 12, the hearing hears and the seeing eyes of the Lord. I want to pray for you in this season that God will help you to see what others are not seeing. I pray for you in this season, God will open your ears to hear what others are not hearing. You know, at times people listen to things on the surface. You need to see beyond the surface because there is treasure beneath the surface. Your eyes will be open to see the treasure beneath this crisis in the name of Jesus. And one of the things that changes the way we see, that changes the way we see or hear, is our perspective. Your perspective, your belief system determines what you see or hear. I want to ask you this question. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? If all you are seeing now is gloom, doom. If all you are seeing now is negativity, death. Listen to this. There is no how you will rise above this crisis. I prophesy to you this morning. Let the weight of gloominess, let the spirit of darkness be lifted of you in the name of Jesus. Anything that is holding your spirit bound, anything that is tying your spirit down, I loosen you today in the name of Jesus. You'll begin to see what others are not seeing. You begin to hear what others are not hearing. I decree it and I prophesy to you in the name of Jesus. Let me mention one more thing because of my time. We're talking about how to spot opportunities. How can I be a child of God? You need to reposition your business. Listen, you cannot afford to do business the way you were doing business before COVID-19. Reposition yourself. Rebrand yourself. Rebrand yourself. Reinvent yourself. Rethink the process. Restrategize. Listen to this. You may have to go over that plan again to make room for the world that we're living right now. Listen to this. You may have to jettison some things to accommodate some new things. It is part of reinventing yourself. The word reposition means to change the position you are or to alter the position you are. And let me say something as I close this morning. Your position determines what you see. And let me also add, your position does not only determine what you see, your position determines who sees you. The reason some people are not going to be seen, the reason your effort may not be obvious, because you are wrongly positioned. It's time to position yourself strategically. That's why I love Zacchaeus. Luke 19. Listen, he heard that Jesus was passing. He was a short man. You know, that's the disadvantage in his own ways. Short. I mean, a crowd of multitude. There's no how he could have seen Jesus. He ran ahead. He knew that Jesus was going to pass. He climbed the tree. Listen, the tree has assisted his height. Whatever you need to do to strategically position, do it all. Make sure you strategically position your business. Make sure you strategically position yourself, because there is a rising, there is a lifting, there is a boom that is coming. A booming season is coming. A season of flourishing is coming. After the darkest night comes light. Your light will shine even in the midst of this darkness, in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, say a better amen. I want you to lift up your hands this while we'll drop the curtains. I'll pick it up on Tuesday. Lift up your hands and begin to bless the Lord this morning. Lift up your hands and begin to thank Him this morning. Begin to thank Him because you are not going down. You are going over. Begin to thank Him this morning because there's a lifting for you. I said there's a lifting for you. In the midst of this crisis, you will excel. Begin to ask God, Lord, show me. Open my ears to hear what you are saying. Help me to be mindful of your instructions. I don't want to miss your instruction. I don't want to miss out on your instructions. Help me, oh Lord, to see the opportunities. Windows of opportunities buried in this season. Windows of opportunities buried in this season. Some people are smiling to the bank even this season. Some people are having a good time, a high time in this season, because things are working. Listen to this. You can be in the position of advantage and power if you change your perspective. Begin to ask God this morning, help me to pay attention. I don't want to be idle. This is not the time to be idle. This is not the time to be passive. This is the time to be proactive. Pray this morning. I want you to pray. Engage your spiritual faculties this morning. Pray in the Holy Ghost. If you can, pray in understanding. Wherever you're watching me from this morning, begin to declare, Holy Spirit, thank you for opening my eyes to see the opportunities that is in this season. Holy Spirit, thank you for opening my ears to hear. Help me, oh Lord, to discern what you are saying to me. Help me, oh Lord, to discern. Help me to take actions. Actions in line with my convictions. Actions in line with your purpose for my life. I don't want to follow the multitude. I don't want to follow the crowd. I know you're a personal God. You have something to say to me. Thank you, Lord. Pray this prayer with me this morning. Pray this prayer with me this morning. Light is coming your way this morning. Illumination is coming your way this morning. Direction is coming your way this morning. Insight is coming your way this morning. Understanding is coming your way this morning. A new perspective. I come against the spirit of gloom. I come against the spirit of gloom. I come against every darkness. I come against every force of uncertainty. Every spirit of uncertainty. I break your hold. I break your influence. Yes, you may be down now, but you are not out. Listen to me, wherever you're watching me from, you may have received a negative report. That report is not the final say of your life. There's still life for you after COVID-19. There's still life beyond COVID-19. You will rise above this season. You will prevail. You will testify. You are an overcomer. And you will prevail. Kusharala bakatora na bakasuse. Limbro da baka suse rienge ke pro da baka suse he pro da baka surene getele brada baka suso he ya ka pro da baka sure baka tora da baka tora baka so ye karosa baka pro de beke sure baka ta glory, glory, glory. There's a lifting for you. Glory, there's a rising for you. Glory, there's a lifting for you. Glory, there is hope for you. Glory, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Glory, your song will still shine again. Glory, you will still sing a new song. Glory, your head will rise above the waters. Glory, you will walk upon waters. Glory, your star will shine again. Glory, the Lord will rise upon you in the name of Jesus. We give you glory this morning. We give you honor. Please lift up your hands wherever you're watching us from this morning. I wanted to put your faith to the light. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. Thank you for invading the privacy, the homes of people who are watching me this morning. Thank you for touching them right now with your power. Thank you, Father, for stirring up their faith. Every spirit of doubt, every spirit of gloom, I break your influence over God's people. Every spirit of ailment, every disease, I cause you to die in the name of Jesus. I prophesy in the name of Jesus the wisdom that your people need to rise above this season. Receive in the name of Jesus. For anybody who is watching me this morning, if you have not decided for Jesus yet, you have not opened the door of your heart, I want you to join me in praying this prayer this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you receive your sons and daughters who are coming to your table today to give their lives unto you. Thank you for the miracle of salvation as they surrender to you. Thank you for transformation and a new beginning. We give you the glory, Father. Can we lift up our hands and just worship him?